It's been a while since he's been last on the show. Someone who I love to talk to, and it's great to have him back. Conan, welcome back into Main Event Radio.
Yo, what's up? When was the last time I was on here?
2007.
Wow, that is a while ago. Yeah, what's up?
Lots of time has passed. It's been a long time. Great to have you back, Conan. How's everything been the last couple of years? How's your health doing?
Everything's cool, man. My health is good. You know, I was working in AAA as a booker, producing. You know, finding talent. A lot of that talent is now in Lucha Underground. You know, Pentagon, Phoenix, Daga. You know, Australian Suicide. And then I was at Lucha Underground the first season. Right now, I'm working a lot with Rey Mysterio. On a lot of outside projects he's got going on, and we're working on helping run probably the biggest independent promotion in Mexico. It's in Tijuana, which is on the border of San Diego, California. It's called the Crash Promotions, and we basically give people the matches that the other two major promotions in Mexico won't give them, which is AAA and CMLL, due to politics and antiquated, you know, narrow-minded thought process. I've always said that one of the biggest problems we have in our industry, and I could name many companies, the majority of them, they're run by people that don't know what they're doing. You know, hopefully we're going to be getting a TV deal next year, and I'll be able to, do what I do best. Boom.
So a new promotion, The Crash, with you and Rey Mysterio Jr. in Mexico. Any word on a potential start date for this promotion?
Nah, we're still negotiating. I don't want to put any, really in Mexico, it's gotten really dirty between the companies and the way the bigger companies try to stop any smaller companies from making any inroads. It's almost like a little mafia, even though they don't work together, but they make sure that nobody else, you know, can shine. So I don't really give out dates, ideas, or anything like, or concepts, because they'll find out and then they'll try to stop it. So that's really how the Mexican panorama looks like right now.
Can you give any potential talents that are going to be involved? Names of talents?
Well, talents that right now aren't in those promotions, probably, you know, Rey Fénix, Sexy Star, who's now wrestling as Sexy Dulce, probably Willie Mack, you know, Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, you know, people like that are people that we'll hope to be working with. We're still in the embryonic, formations of this, so it isn't anything etched in stone, so it isn't, you know, like anything really official. This is all extra official stuff that we're working on now, but it's looking really good.
So you don't think Del Rio will go back to AAA?
He won't ever sign a contract with them again. No, he won't. I mean, they reneged on a lot of promises. He went there, he figured out, you know, how they run their business. And, you know, if he went there, he'd probably go there and give them some dates, and that's it.
What happened with you in AAA? You were there for many years as a performer and as someone working behind the scenes, and then more recently as a consultant. What went sour for you there?
Oh, well, you know, I founded that company in 1992 with Antonio Peña, who, you know, was a creative genius, and another wrestler by the name of Octagon. I was there for, I think, the first four or five years. I'm very proud of the work I did there, you know, and all the great talent that went through there. Rey Mysterio, Psycho, Eddie Guerrero, Love Machine. You know, we just had an incredible roster, and business was great. But then we had a peso devaluation, where all of a sudden, imagine that right now you had $8,000 in the bank, and you wake up, and through no cause of your own, now you have $300 in the bank. And that's really how the economy tanked.
Ouch.
So, you know, that's when we first got a hold of, I was already friends with Paul Heyman, so he got a hold of us. He started to bring us to ECW, then we went to WCW, and so, you know, we started to, then I came back. I was in TNA. I came back, and, you know, basically when Antonio Peña died, he inherited the company to his sister, who at that time, she was like an accountant for the promotion, really didn't know how to run a company or anything. And she handed it over to her and her husband. Her husband at that time was basically in charge of finding arenas to hold our shows at, you know, to do TV mm-hmm. tapings. And then she put her son in creative, who at that time was 20 years old and had zero experience in the position that he was in. I don't think there's ever been anybody in the history of wrestling that had less experience than him. Ever heading creative. So basically, you know, I was telling him how to do stuff, and there just came a point where, you know, the way they were, you know, we know talent has been exploited in wrestling, and, you know, you see it in music, you see it in movies. When you come in, you got to pay your dues, and if somebody doesn't game you up, people are going to take advantage of you. That's a given. You know, I was exploited when I first got into the business until I figured it out. But the problem is they didn't know about the business. You know, they wouldn't listen to sound logic. I would always tell them, can you imagine if you let me do everything that I knew how to do, how far this company would be? They would get in their own way due to just not knowing the business, bro, not knowing mm-hmm. the business. And I just saw the way they were treating talent, and they used three tools to control the talent: intimidation, fear and lies. And so, you know, they didn't know how to treat talent. And I just felt there came a point where I just felt like I was an accomplice. I was hoping things would get better when Lucha Underground started, but it didn't. That was like my saving hope, you know, once this starts, because the head of creative, Dorian Rodan, the guy that took over when he was 20 years old, used to tell me, everything you can't do in AAA, because his mom and dad were super old-fashioned, everything you can't do in AAA, you'll be able to do in Lucha Underground. And one of the selling points that they used to bring Rey Mysterio in is that I was going to help write, and that never transpired. And, you know, just things got progressively worse. And at the end of the day, you know, I just had enough and I quit.
Being part of management, were you pressured to take part in the intimidation and the lies?
No, never pressured, because, you know, they know, you know, what type of person I am. But it was always like, why are you taking the side of the boys? Aren't you the office? I go, no, I'm not the office, bro. I don't hold stock in this company. And even if I did, I'm not going to treat, you know, I'm a wrestler. You know, I know what they're going through. I knew, you know, more than half that roster to this day lives paycheck to paycheck, and they do it on purpose. You know, and, you know, they don't want anybody leaving. They don't want anybody having too much money, having too much power. And what they hated is when I would take, when they did something wrong, and I would take the wrestler's side. Now, if a wrestler was wrong, you know, and they came in there, you know, I would take the company side. But, you know, more usual than not, we were getting into problems because of the way they were taking advantage of the wrestlers. And, you know, I'm not trying to come out here. You know my steelo, bro. I really don't care. I'm not running for mayor. I'm not out here trying to look good in front of the public. I just did not like the way, and I wasn't going to put up with the way they were treating people and how they were treating me too. So I quit.
When did you officially depart the company?
I don't know the exact date. Somewhere like around March, I think.
Okay. And what was the pay issue?
Oh, yeah, at that time they owed me money and they owed other people money. They ended up paying me the money because they knew that I was just going to get really noisy with it. And they ended up paying me money that Lucha Underground owed me. AAA still owes me money. And, you know, we'll go through the judicial system to get that, you know, assuaged, if you will. Boom.
You're listening to Main Event Radio. Ryan Ryder here alongside Conan. Last time you were on our program, you made a couple of allegations, including Jeff Jarrett using the N-word to Ron Killings, and that you being called a dirty Mexican by members of TNA management. Do you feel that the presence of racism has diminished in the last 10 years in the locker rooms?
Yeah, I would say when compared to when I was in the business, yes.
Do you feel that there's still a long way to go?
Yes, just like in society. I mean, we're a reflection of society. You see how in society it's still there, you know, but it's not as bad. It's not as out there as you used to see it. You know, just look at, you know, just all the African Americans that are in the business now as compared to before, you know. And so whether it's New Day or Apollo Crews or, you know, or even, you know, the Latinos, which they haven't done a good job ever since they lost ADR and Rey Mysterio. They haven't been able to make a Latino superstar. But, you know, you're starting to finally, they're opening up their eyes. They're always behind the curve. Wrestling always is behind the curve. But I think it has gotten better, but it does have a way to go. I mean, when you're, when, you know, when in around 2040, the majority minority in this country will be Hispanics. I've been saying this since back then in 2007, when neither TNA or WWE has any Latinos in positions of power, name, be it an agent or be it a producer or a writer or an executive. I mean, you know, they're still behind the curve. And I would put an African-American in that same, you know, in that same boat.
Mm-hmm. Well, like as you've mentioned, there's some top talents that are African-American. There's Nakamura, who's someone who's coming from Japan, barely even knowing the English language, now getting over in NXT. You have Kalisto. And Sin Cara is two Hispanic stars, so it really is starting to change.
Yeah, they did a great job getting Asuka. Now they're going to get the other girl, which she actually wrestled for AAA when she was very young. Shiro Uatic, I can't even pronounce her name. She's incredible. Wait till you see her. But you know that you know they're doing a good job in that sense. They're finally, you know, going global. We're seeing, you know, how you know what they've done with you know, Becky Lynch, or you know, when Paige was there, or you know, all these other people that, so they finally are smartening up in that sense. Now we need to see us in positions of power.
Yeah, in the past you were a little bit critical about women's wrestling. What's your thought on the current revolution with?
Well, I was critical because it sucked. I mean, I don't hate, I state, bro. You know, yeah. And it sucked. I mean, when you had Oksana and you know, and all these other girls out there that couldn't, you know, I mean, they were just whatever models. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and they were training in front of the TV. They weren't in developmental long enough, and the matches were brutal, and it was embarrassing to watch. But now you got this new crop of girls that they're killing it. You know, Charlotte's incredible, and you know, and Sasha, and I don't know why they don't do anything with Natalie. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's one of the best.
Yeah, so, you know, you're fine. I mean, they still got, you know, like the Bellas and all these others that can't go. But, you know, at least they're watchable now.
Yeah. TNA's current situation, do you think the end is near for them?
No, well, they just got a new round of financing, right? Mm-hmm. The Fight Network and Aerolux or whatever. So, you know, they're going to keep crawling along. But, you know, it does them no favors to be on a station like Pop TV. I mean, give me a break. So, I mean, one of their problems is branding. You know, they also have problems. They have, I don't even think they have a Hispanic on their show, do they? Maybe.
At the time being?
Tigre Uno, is he still even
there? Yeah, Tigre Uno is still around. He hasn't been on TV recently.
When you see him every 3 months, boom.
Oh, I don't know if they have anyone else. True. They used to have a big Hispanic presence with you and LAX.
Right. Yeah. So you know, TNA, you know, the problem starts at the top. Dixie Carter, inept, incompetent, you know. People go, oh, she's nice. Okay, she can be nice all she wants. She doesn't know what she's doing, you know. And that company is going to suffer because of her, going to continue to suffer. So it's a shame because they've always had great talent. They continue to have talent, but talent isn't enough, you know, to get that company where it needs to go. She needs to put the correct people in positions of power. They have a terrible, you know, nobody knows who they are. And that's a problem, perception and branding.
Do you think it's too late to turn things around for them?
No, if they get the right people in the right places, or, you know, they could turn that place around. And they definitely need, I really do believe they need to get on a better network.
How would they be able to do that? Because the reason why they're on Pop TV in the first place is because the demand isn't high enough.
Well, I don't think the demand is high enough. I mean, you know, they screwed themselves over with Spike. You know, I guess, you know, for whatever reason, Spike didn't like Vince Russo, and they were working with him, you know, without telling him. When they found out, boom, guess what? You're out of here. And, you know, it can be turned around. It can, you know, but... your question was how could they get to a better station? Well, you know, that's their job. You know, that's not really my job. I'm trying to get my own TV deal. I'm not going to make the same mistake that these other promotions made, and it's incredible that they continue to make, You know, but that's what happens when you have the wrong people running the company or in the wrong positions of power.
Are you looking for an American TV deal as well, or it's going to be mostly focused in Mexico?
Yeah, this would be strictly Mexico. You know, that's a humongous population, over 100 million people. And plus in all the border towns, you know, people will be able to watch the show. And plus, we're coming to that point, Ryan, sooner rather than later, when you're not going to need to be on a major network to for people to see your show. You know, you'll be able to have a show, you know, and stream it live, and you won't need to deal with big TV networks. So that day is coming close.
That's the future, streaming and online viewing.
Right.
So what do you think were TNA's biggest mistakes?
Everything, bro. I mean, from branding to relying too much on bringing old WWE talent, signing them up, you know, and not showcasing your young talent. And then when you decided to showcase your young talent, they were kind of stale and you didn't have good storylines for them. And, you know, I mean, like the Young Bucks were there and, you know, Austin Aries was there, you know, and Joe was there and AJ, and they didn't know what to do with these guys, you know, and so it all starts with Dixie.
Would you have predicted the success that AJ Styles is currently having in WWE?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. He's one of the best, you know, and he was always great to work with. When, like when LAX wrestled Daniels and AJ, you know, they were a tag team. Mm-hmm. You know, you could tell way back then, you know, how super talented he was. And now, you know, his microphone game wasn't strong back then. It is now, you know.
He's one of the best talkers in the business now.
Yeah, he's great, you know, and he's a cool dude too, man. I'm very happy for him, you know. And I remember back then, him, Joe, and Chris Daniels, they were always hanging out together. And I knew, you know, that those three guys really had a lot of talent, and they're all showing it. You know, Chris Daniel continues to shine in Ring of Honor with his boy, Kazarian, another talented guy. And Joe's, you know, doing his thing in NXT. You know, he's going to hit that main roster, you know. And then, you know, AJ's a champ. So, I mean, those guys are just great.
Yeah.
Great people, too.
Mm-hmm. The WWE Network has changed the business as well. You're on there. Fans could look back, a whole new fan base for you. What do you think about the network?
Well, it's smart, you know. Vince, that's why Vince destroys everybody. His business acumen in this industry has been second to none. That he's probably lost touch with, you know, what people want. Definitely 70-year-old billionaire. How in touch could he be with what we're doing, you know? But he should also be smart enough to let other people start doing things. But, you know, when people create shit, you know, they want to own it, it's theirs, and they don't want to give it up to anybody else. But, you know, I applaud Hunter on, like, the job that he's done with NXT and the cruiserweights and all that, because that definitely ain't Vince, you know? So he's been smart enough to see that. And, but, you know, the network was a good idea, and they're starting to reap some dividends.
Have you ever been asked to take part in any documentaries for the network?
No.
No. Okay. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Sure.
What's your thought on the royalties in regards to the network?
Adam, not too well-versed on that subject. I know a lot of people were complaining about it. I know that was one of CM Punk's major gripes. A lot of people were complaining about it, how paychecks were getting lower because they were trying to, you know, finance the network. You know, WWE is going to get away with what they want. They, you know, they'll either drag your ass through the courts, and I saw that happen to two of my friends, or people just want to be spending money battling in court, or a lot of people are afraid to say anything bad about them because I might never get hired or get a Legends contract or get put into the Hall of Fame. F*** all that. I don't give a shit. I just say it how it is. But I don't really know about the royalties. I would think I should be getting some if I'm coming out there myself, but, you know, I'm not dying of hunger right now, so it isn't something that I really care about.
Speaking of lawsuits, there's a concussion lawsuit against World Wrestling Entertainment right now, kind of copying the one that the NFL faced. What's your take on the concussion issue?
Well, it's pretty ludicrous when you're still on the independent scene or wrestling in another major company or minor company to be suing them for that. So for those people, that's almost like a self-check. I can just see the judge going, well, how can you be suing this guy for concussion, you know, syndrome, post-concussion syndrome, CTE, and you're still wrestling. So some of them, I just think guys trying to get a money grab. You know, God bless them, because WWE has never given us a pension. You know, they've made us independent contractors so they wouldn't have to pay us overtime. You know, but yet they treat us just like an employee. So if you can get it, you know.
So do you think the wrestlers working under the WWE banner should be employees and not independent contractors?
Of course.
Yeah. Will that ever happen?
You know, like everything else, everything changes. I thought, you know, never ever would I see that, you know, you couldn't smoke in public, you know, and you can't. I never thought I'd see marijuana being legalized in California, and it did. I didn't think Trump was going to be. I could never in my life imagine a person being held to the highest political office in the United States and not being a politician. I just never thought I'd see that. I never thought I'd see a black president, but I did. So I guess everything is possible.
Those were my next questions. I was going to ask you, what do you think of Trump as the new president?
Yeah, he's tremendous, bro. I mean, he's like, you know, like I think from everything I read, I'm a little bit of a political junkie, but from what I read, you know, he basically got in there to get a little buzz for his hotels and for his name, for the Trump brand, which he's always done, whether it's Celebrity Apprentice or, the, you know, everything that he's done, you know, WrestleMania, he's always gotten a buzz on his name. And he hit a chord, you know, and, you know, he's like a populist, you know, basically that ideology is it's, you know, it's us against the elite, you know, and the elite are fucking us over. And I think whether you're on the right or the left or in the middle, wherever you are, we all feel the same way, you know, that Occupy Wall Street movement, that was a populist movement, the 99% against the 1%, that 1% that have most of the wealth and all of the power in this country. And I don't want to get into real political discussion, but I almost feel like when people vote, do they really have any power? I think it's that 1% that runs this country, you know. Mm-hmm. For him, you know, he touched on a very strong sentiment. You know, when you look at when people used to say, well, he isn't going to have the Hispanic vote. Okay, well, we're 17% of the population. He isn't going to have the black vote. Okay, that's 13% of the population. The Asians are like 5%. White America is still 72% of the population, and the biggest voter turnout was the high school educated white. Mm-hmm. And what we had to figure out of that 72%, who agreed with Trump? You know, I mean, he actually lost a popular vote, but at the end of the day, it was incredible to see how he was able to activate, how he was able to mobilize, how he was able to hit upon, you know, the anger and angst in America where a lot of Americans are saying, hey, you know, you need to build a wall. There's a lot of terror. There's a lot of immigrants coming in here that don't know the language. You know, you got to, you know, terrorists might come in here. You know, he was able to really tap into a lot of things that other politicians wouldn't talk about.
Yeah, people are tired of the Bushes. They're tired of the Clintons. They're tired of Obama. They're tired of the corrupt system. They wanted real change, and Trump offered that. He wants to increase legal immigration. It's the illegal immigration that he wants to cut back on. And from what I've heard, 35% of the Hispanic population actually did vote for Trump, and 47% of the woman population.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't understand what a Latino would see in him, but at the end of the day, man, you got to give the guy a chance. Let's see what he does. And, you know, he wasn't a favorite of the GOP, so he don't owe them any favors, you know. And, you know, he paid his own, you know, to me, it's almost like a con man, bro, that made it to the top.
Give him a chance and see how it goes. That's my take. You mentioned marijuana now being legal in California. You must be happy about that.
Well, you know, marijuana is just an issue that, the government basically tobacco for many years, understanding that if you wanted to get a cigarette, you had to go out, you know, into a tobacco field, you know, pick the tobacco and, you know, go. I mean, it's way easier to grow pot than it is to make a cigarette. You know, so you were cutting into their business. Not to mention that if you go back in history and you look around the 1930s when they had the Bracero program, which is basically the Mexicans that the United States were using as cheap labor, which they still do to this day, they used to, you know, chew marijuana and smoking. And so imagine back in the 30s, if they don't speak English now, a lot of them, imagine back in the 30s. So they made all these laws saying that if they caught you with marijuana, you would be deported. They couldn't read. You know, and so they when the Great Depression happened, and when the Great Depression was over, and now they needed to get people back to work, they started to kick out all the Mexicans under a very racist law. But you know, I remember when I was young, I would watch these movies. Like one in particular was called Reefer Madness, and it was like from the 50s or the 60s, and they would show like, oh, look what happens when you smoke a marijuana cigarette, and you know, they'd be going uncontrollable, they get all hysterical and uncontrollable, and you know, back then when you don't know any better, well, you believe in all this propaganda. But I think like everything else, people evolve, whether it's gay marriage or cannabis, and you know, you're like, the government's bullshitting us, the government's doing this for their own, you know, or corporations for their own greedy purposes. And, you know, now you're seeing stuff like, you know, this being legalized and Trump as a president.
And the cops should be going after real criminals, not people who are smoking a joint once in a while.
Right, that's ridiculous, bro. I mean, but, you know, you got to remember, you have private prisons that are making money. You got the companies that are making the foods for prisons. You got the companies that are making the beds for prisons. You've got bail bondsmen. I mean, it was a humongous racket. And thank God that hopefully now, you know, all this money that's been spent on the drug war, which has not made a dent whatsoever, can maybe be used in education or rehabilitation.
And the prisons are overflowing.
Right, right. Yeah. How is it possible that, you know, China has 1 billion people, 3 times our population, 4 times our population, we have more people in prison?
That's nuts. Back on wrestling, Survivor Series is this Sunday. What's your pick for Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar?
I don't know, man. I've got to think they've got to go with Lesnar. I don't know unless they want to do something with Goldberg and Undertaker at WrestleMania, but I don't know. I thought that stuff they did in Raw was a little bit hokey. I don't know. I would probably, without knowing all the, I think I would go with Lesnar over Goldberg, you know?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a one-shot, and it doesn't make sense for Goldberg to come in and beat Lesnar. They kind of booked themselves into a corner here, but I'd say Lesnar as well.
Yeah.
Conan, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon here on Main Event Radio. Hope to have you on again sometime soon. Any other word to your fans, and also on maybe something else about this new Crash, the Crash that you've announced?
Yeah, the Crash is a promotion in Tijuana, so if you're ever in San Diego, we have shows every month. We've got the best talent around the United States and Mexico all converging in Tijuana, and we'll be, like I said, hopefully we'll be getting a deal soon. I don't want to talk, you know, too much about it. Let me put it to you that way, but it's looking good. And I have my own podcast, which is called Keeping It 100, Podcast One with the Jericho. No, I'm not on the list network. So basically, my boy Chris Jericho, your countryman, works for Podcast One. And due to the popularity of his show, they gave him like his own network. And Lance Storm and Cyrus are on it. Remember Cyrus from ECW?
Of course.
Yeah, so shouts out to them. It's called Killing the Town.
Don Callis.
Yes, Don Callis. Yeah. Yes. I think he's from Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they got their own show, you know, on the Jericho Network. Of course, Chris Jericho got his own highly successful Talk is Jericho podcast. And, you know, I'm over here doing my thing at Keeping It 100. We just had for all of you guys that were Eddie Guerrero fans, we did a special anniversary issue where Vicky Guerrero was on. And we shared some really cool moments from when I first met Eddie, because I knew Eddie way back, like when Vicky was still like a cheerleader and mm-hmm. he'd go pick her up. So we got some good stories, and then Rey Mysterio showed up with his son. You remember Dominic was in an angle with Eddie.
And he's training to wrestle now, right?
Yes, he is training to wrestle. He made the announcement on my podcast. We chopped game a little bit with Shane Helms, the Hurricane, who also has his own segment. Juventud Guerrero was on there, who also has his own segment
called Juice
and Juicy for All. Okay? So come check it out. It's a crazy show, you know, and I'm on Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N 5150 on Twitter and Facebook. Boom.
Thank you, K-Dog.
Yeah, man. Thank you, too, man. Thank you very much. Hope it isn't another 8 years.
No, it'll be sooner than that, I hope.
Step to my homeboy K-Dog and get slammed on the mat. Get your whole head.